You are listening to Real Bible Answers, where the answers are always realistic, exegetical, applicable, and lasting. Real Bible Answers is brought to you by the Life Heritage Radio Network and features international evangelist and Bible teacher, Dr. Keith Augustus Burton.
Thanks for tuning in to Real Bible Answers. The question for today comes from Carlos. He asks, "Dear Dr. Burton, based on Romans 1:21-32, I was wondering if a person had a reprobate thought on rare occasions, if this meant that he or she had a reprobate mind. Or is having a reprobate mind more of a yes or a no issue? Verse 32 especially makes me wonder if a gray area exists." Very interesting question, Carlos. Well, it seems to be that the text that appears to be at the heart of your question is Romans 1:28, where the King James Version uses the word reprobate to translate the Greek term adokimos, which a lot of modern translations render as corrupted. Now, this verse is a part of a larger unit that actually encompasses verses 18 through 32. Now, notice when we look at the beginning of that unit in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, that Paul begins with what may be termed his thesis statement for this section. He says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness conducted by people who are suppressing the truth with their wickedness." It is this category of humans that is later described as reprobate. Let's unpack it a bit. In verses 19-23, we see Paul describing here why God is compelled to allow his judgment to consume the wicked. When we look here, we see that it specifically declares that God has revealed himself to all people. His nature reveals his identity, according to what Paul is saying here. But he says, in spite of this, some people reject him and embrace various forms of idols. Now, when we look on at verse 24 and following, we see that because some people have rejected the divine in spite of the evidence, the Spirit of God apparently ceased to be a conscience to this wicked category. And this resulted in moral bankruptcy expressed in the reverence of evolutionary theory and homosexual practice. Now, of course, for those who may be wondering where I'm getting this from, just take a look again at verse 25. And Paul talks about people who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. And so we see here a distinct reference to those who don't look to God as the originator, don't look to God as sovereign, but look to creatures. And we definitely see this attitude in evolutionary theory. And of course, if you look at verses 26 and 27, it is very clear that he's talking about homosexual practice as an indicator of those who've basically been bankrupt in their concept of God. Now, this reprobate or corrupt mindset that Paul exposes in verse 28 is also expressed in a number of vices, including fornication, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, arrogance, juvenile delinquency, and a number of others that we find in verses 29 through 31. And so when we get down to verse 32, we see Paul here driving home the depraved nature of those who fit this category. They know God's displeasure in these lifestyles, yet they make absolutely no effort to change. Interestingly, we see the indictment is not only against the perpetrators of these specific sins, but it is towards those who actively or passively approve of them. So in response to your question, we see that Paul leaves no room for gray here. Those who glory in or assent to these lifestyles are not in divine favor. Remember, he's not talking about the occasional thought that may flash through a mind, or even the occasional slip into sin that he discusses in chapter 7. This is a wake-up alert to a world that champions Darwinism and homosexual marriage, a world that has exchanged the truth of God for a lie, a world that so desperately needs a gospel that produces righteous men and women who live by faith.
I trust you were blessed by this edition of Real Bible Answers. To listen to other programs or to view some of the other services of Life Heritage Ministries, visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org. Feel free to email your questions to BibleAnswers@lifeheritage.org, or you may call them in at 206-350-5476. If you wish to give a donation, you may do so on our webpage, or you can send it by check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Again, thanks for listening. And always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.